Hello and welcome to Nintendo Pals Podcast Episode 12. Tonight we talk about the Fire Emblem port, Nintendo Switch Online, and spooky Halloween Nintendo stuff. That and more. I am joined this evening by Micah.
Yep.
And I am Andrew, and we are the Nintendo Pals. Micah, how are you doing? It's been like a whopping whole day since I talked to you.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I've only gotten out of bed like twice.
That's a pretty sweet deal. Yeah. You getting excited for Halloween? You wear the same dinosaur costume you've worn for like 10 years in a row?
I'm pretty sure it wouldn't actually fit anymore. I've grown it. Also, I think it's supposed to be a snake, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, a snake with arms and legs is basically a dinosaur, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, let's jump right over into the Nintendo news. I guess I should have used that as a segue. We should snake on over to the Nintendo news.
Yeah, please don't ever say that.
So, you just got done watching the Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light port that will be coming to the States in December. What did you think of that announcement?
I thought the presentation was 10 out of 10. Spot on.
Yeah, I did enjoy how like self-aware it was. Like, you know them from Smash Bros., but have never heard of them anywhere else.
Yeah, I feel like back in the day, that was probably pretty true. Pretty accurate in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea what Fire Emblem was before Smash Bros. There's a couple games that I had no idea what they were before Smash Bros. Like Earthbound, Mother.
Ice Climbers.
Yeah, Ice Climbers.
Vista Game & Watch.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Game & Watch.
Rob. Whatever Rob's actually from.
He was an NES, like...
That's a weird Rob controller.
He was like... bundled in because this was like after the video game crash, and so they were trying to sell it more like a toy, and then they were like, oh, it's a toy, not a video game. And then it was a really fun video game, and everybody just remembers it as a video game. I thought the announcement was pretty the presentation was really well done. They're coming out with a really fancy special edition with all this collectible stuff. The digital download is going to be like $5, but if you want all the fancy stuff with the special edition, it's like $50 or $60.
Yeah, I didn't see how much the price was. I was hoping it wouldn't be too much. I might actually pick that up for $5.
Yeah. Have you played a Fire Emblem game before?
I've played a couple, but it's been a really long time.
I have not ever played one more than like the first level. I've tried someone else's copy of the game, but haven't gotten my own copy.
Yeah, I mean, when I say I've played a couple, I mean I've played like 20 minutes of a couple.
Yeah. Cool series. I know you're into those like tactical board game style play games.
Yeah.
With XCOM.
Mario Rabbids.
Fire Emblem was the first.
Yeah, the little bit I played, I enjoyed, but I don't know, for some reason, I just haven't picked up a game, any Fire Emblem game recently.
Yeah, well, and you can be assured that this one won't be like a dating sim like the new ones are.
Oh, that was the big draw, though.
Well, if, the game, if you want that, include... you can pay the full 60 for three houses. But
if a game doesn't include dating, version, what's the point?
Well, it's obviously worth $55 for the dating portion, because that's how much they charge for the new ones, you know?
Yeah. And, and that's the only addition.
Yeah, that's all they have. Yeah, it's not one I'm going to pick up, but I think it's a cool announcement. And I think the special edition they're putting out with the art book, if you're a Fire Emblem fan, this is a cool deal.
That's real cool.
And I almost wish that, you know, Mario 3D All-Stars had gotten this cool, like, a bundle of, like, art and stuff.
Yeah, but then it would have been, like, $115.
Yeah, that's true. Did come with the fancy pin set that I did not get. Still a little hurt about that. Yeah. So that's...
But it makes you feel better, like all of our friends did. So that's been real cool. So yeah, like posting all their pictures.
Everybody posting pictures. Like, look at how great this pin set looks. Yep. Yeah, a bunch of meanies. No, it's cool. It is a cool pin set. It's a very nice set. And it's cool to see, even with this Fire Emblem deal, that Nintendo's putting an emphasis on physical rewards for stuff, which they were not doing for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily call them physical rewards because you're paying for them, but
the pins were not.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Those, as long as you bought the game, I guess.
Yeah. I guess reward is probably the wrong term, but like physical merchandise in conjunction with a game release kind of deal. So in addition to that, I guess the only other big news item that we have is that Pokemon Crown Tundra is out now. I have not seen anything about it. I need to look into it a little bit more. Have you seen anything on it?
I'm pretty sure there's going
to... What was that?
So I'm pretty sure there's going to be snow.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be snow. Yeah, that's a safe bet. Maybe a crown?
Maybe.
From what I did hear, they're going to be adding like a special double battle mode where you can double with characters from in the game, and it kind of teaches you competitive play. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. Besides that, I don't know.
I really hope they have one double that they just self-destruct every battle. Leave you by yourself.
Yeah, I don't know who they're putting in for that, but it'd be cool if they had gym leaders from other generations guest star come up. You get a pair up with Brock,
Lieutenant Surge.
Yeah,
I think that's one from like Pokemon Crystal. Is that right?
He was in that. There's some lieutenant guy. Yeah, he's originally from the first game.
Oh, really?
Electric, I didn't know that. In the first game, but he comes back in Crystal because you can fight the old gym leaders in that one as well. Yeah, and he like fought in an actual war as like an American lieutenant. It's interesting, just a very memorable character because it just feels so out of place with the rest of the game. Looks like someone,
yeah, so Street
Fighter.
His Raichu has probably seen some things.
Yeah, back in the war. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is coming, and that about covers it for news for Nintendo, which, you know, good for them to kind of take a little bit of a break from the crazy news coverage. The Fire Emblem thing was pretty big for just, it's so out of the blue. So to kind of go back and preface that a little bit, that game was never ported to the United States. I don't know what the first Fire Emblem game we got here in the U.S. in the West was, but that one never came, and the series has since gotten very popular. So thanks, Smash Bros, for reviving a series.
But they just need Mother 3.
Yeah, well, it kind of sparks that hope for people where games that weren't ported over that people were like, I wanted that, but like Mother 3, hey, who knows? It might come in another 20 years from when it was.
Yeah.
From when it was first launched. Another thing's like 30 years ago, I think. It just seems bizarre to like, oh, yeah, now we're going to port it over. It's been 30 years. Now's about time.
Well, it was probably just a really difficult port. They've been working on it this whole time.
Are there any Nintendo games that you want ported over that haven't? Because if you don't have one, I have one that you will want. I know. Tingle's Balloon Adventure. Because Zelda's awesome. And, I mean, Tingle's just, like, the best character. I don't know why we didn't get that game, really. There's not really any reason.
I think there's probably that using their test audience, American children, probably didn't like it.
Yeah, they probably got scared. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a game that I'm like, how did this one get to the U.S., but Tingle's Balloon Adventure didn't. And I can't really like think of like a game that was so terrible that I did wish it wasn't ported. I can't think of anything. I'm sure something will come to mind eventually. But yeah, there's three, I guess. Mother 3. Yeah, I feel like I would probably like that one the best out of the Mother series, which I have not played any of the games and need to give those a try at some point. Have you tried them? Have you played one?
The first one.
Which one? Earthbound?
Yes.
Because there was one that was not...
That one.
That was not brought over. That's the first one, Mother 1. And Earthbound's basically the same game. Well, not basically the same game. I'm doing a disservice to anybody that is a Mother fan, but but a very similar story in Earthbound, kind of retold. And then Mother 3, was a Game Boy game. Game Boy Advance? Had some interesting...
I don't remember.
Yeah. It's got Lucas in it, so it's probably really good. Lucas is like the best character in Smash Bros.
Oh, probably. I'm pretty sure Pooh is the best character in Earthbound.
It seems like it's such a like a whimsical game, like one I would have really enjoyed if I had it when it came out. Like, I wish that I had enjoyed it in its prime time.
In its heyday.
Its heyday, yeah. But that's okay. Mother 3, maybe it's coming. Give it another 10 years.
Yeah, has it been 30 years since that came out?
I don't think so. Because if it was a Game Boy Advance game and that was 30 years ago, I'm super old.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll move out of Nintendo news and let's get over into the realm of the rumor mill. So... rumor had it for a little bit that Microsoft, because Microsoft's been on, you know, a buy company spree, was going to buy Sega. They have since squashed those rumors, but it was fun to speculate what would happen if so-and-so bought Sega. And, like, what would have happened if Xbox, Microsoft had bought
Sega? Like, for Sonic in the next, they'd have to put him in the next Halo.
Yeah, Sonic in the next Halo. He's like, you go to like a planet and it's just Sonic's planet.
Yeah, and the Covenant show up. Are the Covenant still the bad guys? I don't even know. I haven't played the last like two Halos, so.
Yeah, I don't know either. They become I know like still there. I know
some
there.
Of the it's Covenant the become allies in one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they won the war.
Well, they also had the Forerunners or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what's happening.
I don't think they have any idea what's happening, so it's a little hard to follow. But yeah, Sonic in the next Halo game, it would have probably meant I don't think it would have changed Sonic's relationship with Nintendo, Sega's relationship with Nintendo lately, because Sonic's been doing a ton of crossovers with them for a while now, with all the Olympics games, and Smash Bros, obviously. I mean, it's like a matter of time before he's a playable character in Mario Kart, you know? But here's the thing.
Well, I don't want to be Mario Kart.
It'd be Smash Bros. Kart.
It'd be Smash Kart. Yeah. Mario Bros. Kart.
I mean, they've already got Zelda. Not Zelda. They have Link in there, but like Zelda IP and...
Oh, but yeah, I guess they do have Link. That's true.
I don't think it'll ever change that will ever change the name from Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Too recognizable of a name at this point. But it's fun to...
Might just add Ant Friends at some point.
Ant Friends. Could you imagine if Nintendo came out and bought Sega? Now you gotta think like...
I feel like not that much would change.
Well, back in the day, they were like mortal enemies. They had like advertising that was just straight up like anti, it's like Sega does what Nintendo don't. And well, like at that point, Nintendo's like, we bought you, so take that. But Sega was forced out of
the alpha move.
Sega was forced out of the hardware game, right? Quite some time ago, and has been a software only, like a game company only, for a long time. And I will say has had a rocky time with that. Like they've always been around, but haven't necessarily had the most successful games out there.
Critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think that Nintendo could do some really cool stuff with the Sonic IP and some of Sega's other IP. They could make some really cool games with those. But Nintendo seems kind of hyper-focused on their own stuff. They have purchased other smaller companies before. Like, they have Rare. Do they have Rare? That's... Retro Studios, I think. Is what, yeah, that, I not
no
Rare.
Idea.
Microsoft Rare. But they have like smaller subsidiaries that work for them. But they've kind of all merged into the main Nintendo. Like they had HAL. They had that made the original Smash Bros. And Kirby games. And they've been working a lot with Bandai Namco.
Yeah, like that. I was gonna mention that I couldn't remember what their name was.
The Pac-Man.
People. I almost said Bando Namkai, and I was like, that doesn't sound quite right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because I feel like it's taken over quite a bit of Smash Bros. And Kirby.
Yep. And now I'm not going to be able to say that Namco Bandai, not Banco Nam. You've messed me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I do think that would be interesting, and it would be cool. I do think Nintendo does a great job with their games. They put a lot of work into all the games that they make. And so if they were to take on some IP popular IP on other from other people, I think it would be really cool. And then the crossovers, they are already doing lots of crossovers with Sonic, but I feel like those could be turned up, like you could be in sports games with them and Mario parties.
Well, they could create essentially a Breath of the Wild Sonic. Some big open worlds.
Yeah.
Sonic game. I mean, it was Sonic Adventures, I think. I feel like everyone hated that. It was terrible, but I thought that game was great.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Sonic Adventure 2. I think it's cool system. Yeah. There's
the IP, like the IP where you can just run super fast. Could be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The IP and the ideas are really good, but it's just like the execution hasn't always hit the mark. Even in the originals. So I didn't grow up on a Sega system, and I've played the Sonic games all kind of post their heyday. And they don't hold up awesomely. Not like Mario, where I feel like I could go back and play the original Mario Bros. Over and over and find new things, find value. I mean, just look at like what's popular in like the speedrunning community. I'm sure there's Sonic speedruns, but the Mario speedrun community is like way bigger than Sonic, ironically. But then again, Sonic has a good movie and Mario does not.
I don't know if you can speedrun Sonic in like 5 minutes like you can Mario games.
Yeah. I feel like you should be able to. You're freaking Sonic the Hedgehog.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it, so maybe you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would be cool to see what if Sega were ever to be purchased. I think I'd want them purchased by Nintendo. But just
I just gotta say, I did play Sonic 1, 2, and 3 when I was younger, and I thought they were awesome.
Which one was your favorite of those?
Probably actually the third one, mostly because I think I just remember that one the most.
Yeah, I've played a little bit of 2 and 3. Of everything I've played, 2 has been the best. One was fun. I played through most of it, most all of it, but didn't hold up quite as good as I think I would have probably enjoyed it again. I probably would have enjoyed it more at the time. Came out. Yeah. Well, let's move on to another rumor from another third-party, not Nintendo developer. Outer Worlds is supposedly going to be getting a sequel. And if you remember, Outer Worlds was one that was basically the spiritual successor to the Fallout franchise, developed by the original Fallout developer guys. And they ported it to Switch, and it was pretty bad graphically, like gameplay wise it was playable and good, but from most everything I saw, it was like, don't pick it up on this system. Like, it's a fun game, it's awesome, but not on the Switch. I think since then they've patched it to make the graphics a little bit better, but seeing as that was the reception, I wonder if they will try with the sequel to even try to put it on to the Switch.
Yeah, who knows? I feel like sounds like the first one was like pointed over more as an afterthought. Correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe if they...
Yeah, it was already out, and it came, the port came late.
Dude, they wanted to from the get-go, it would work better.
Maybe, yeah, if they were designing from the ground up instead of designing it to be ported to the Switch. However, like, we've both played quite a bit of Divinity 2, which I think was all made for not the Switch, and then was eventually ported over to the Switch. And I think that's a great port.
Yeah, I thought that ported really nicely.
Graphically, it's not, like, incredible, but it's pretty good. Especially, I played it a lot on the big screen, and it looks good. Definitely doesn't look as good as it looks on computer, but it does give me hope that and Larian, the company, seems to be like big fans of the Switch, so I'm really hopeful that they do the same thing with Baldur's Gate 3. I know they want to put that on consoles, and I hope Switch is one of those consoles.
Like 2 years out, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's not gonna be for a while. Maybe it won't even be the Switch. Won't even be the Switch version. It'll be whatever Nintendo's next thing is. Switch 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, you got cut off. I'm sure it was a brilliant title. What was it?
Oh, it was incredible. You imagine.
You're cutting in and out so bad. So it's like, I'm never going to know what you said. Hopefully Craig picked it up.
It's not meant for mortal ears.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the actual title. Nintendo has hacked this recording and is blurring the title of the next console.
Yeah. They're like, how did he know? They're mobilizing their like special ops people to come take me out.
Well, let's move on then before we get into Mario territory.
Someone in a giant Mario costume just shows up.
Just barrels through the back door.
Yeah.
All right. So that does it for the rumor mill. So I guess we will jump right on over into our questions section. All righty. And our first question today comes from at DatFast on Discord. You can find him on Twitter. He does another podcast called RetroLogic. So our friends over at RetroLogic asked us the following. We didn't get an additional system added to Nintendo Switch Online for its anniversary like last year, but hopefully we will be getting something added soon. Do you think it will be Game Boy or Nintendo 64, and which would you prefer?
If I had to guess, I'd probably guess it would be Game Boy. Just seems like Nintendo 64 a lot more have to go into it, but that could explain why it didn't happen this year and it's being delayed longer.
True.
But who knows?
What's your preference? What would you like to see on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I never actually had a Nintendo 64. So I'd probably like to see that. But there are a lot of good Game Boy games. It's been a super long time since I've played. And I doubt my Game Boys... Actually, my Game Boys probably do still work if I ever found them.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Nintendo systems, man. They never die.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, I think I'd have to hope for a Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same line of thinking on what's likely. I bet what will be next would be a Game Boy, Nintendo Switch Online Game Boy. What I actually would want, I think, would be a Game Boy Advance player that played some of those GBA games. No, that wasn't in the options. But I think that would be really cool to play some of those. It has a huge library of games. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if it has a bigger library than Game Boy. But, and I just really like the style of that generation of games. N64, I would be similar to
a Switch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. I would be happy with a Nintendo 64 online.
Especially if they put Majora's Mask.
Oh, yeah. But that's not...
Then I could finally play it.
That's not what I want, though. I don't want a straight port over. I want the 3DS remake ported over.
That's true. Maybe they'll just do Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, and 3DS.
Now, 3DS, I mean, this is pie in the sky. Like, nah, not going to happen.
Yeah. But
I would love a 3DS player. Like, some way to play 3DS games on the Switch would be very cool.
Yeah.
It's hard once you get into the dual screen generation. I don't know how they will ever be, how you will ever be able to go back and play those without the dual screen hardware.
I mean, emulator with the two computer monitors.
Right, but not like what I'm saying. It's like on a Switch.
A legally licensed emulator.
What I'm saying is like on a Nintendo system. I don't think they're going to have the backwards compatibility because they'll have to do a lot of work to make it work single screen in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I mean, if you had it hooked up and like docked and hooked up to your TV, you could do that with. Like, just split the TV screen. It would be, like, too small on the Switch, I think. But then you're also missing out when it's on the TV on all the touch screen capabilities. So.
I mean, next system just needs to have it so the system streams to your Switch, your portable Switch. So it can be a portable system and play the games portably, but you can also do the dual screen. If you are at home, so you can basically at that point we can bring over Wii U titles, which they already are doing.
They've already done like all of them.
Deluxe, yes, like everything's already over. But the one we want, Nintendo Land, could come back.
Yes, Nintendo Land, one of my top 10 games.
Yeah, Nintendo Land's up there. I probably is in my top. It's a fun game. We talk about it so much on this podcast. If you listen to this podcast and haven't played it, you're probably like, well, I got to buy a Wii U in that game now.
And then you'll probably be really disappointed, I guess. But it's super good for playing with other people.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. Even the single player is pretty dang awesome.
Yeah, I put so much time into that like Donkey Kong Crash Course. Got every single stamp, like found all the secrets.
I remember playing with you through all of the like campaign of Metroid and Zelda.
Oh, yeah. Zelda.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and I think
Pikmin, don't forget that.
Oh yeah, that one was good.
That one was really fun too.
Yeah. Maybe you do need to get the Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, but there's other ones that I want more. Also, I haven't had time to play what I have.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in what you play, and I'll explain my dilemmas on time crunch. But yeah, so thank you so much for sending the question at DatFest. Anybody listening who would like to send us a question, please do. Reach out to us on Discord, Twitter, Facebook. You can send us an email as well.
Open Andrew's home address.
send me an actual letter. But we appreciate the questions. I that was a great question. I am bummed that we didn't get a new system. We didn't even get any new games for the anniversary of Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah.
It felt like they just kind of like forgot about it. But at the same time, we are getting some new stuff. Like there's been a lot more free games coming out for Nintendo Switch Online members. I know a lot of people were kind of disappointed that the Fire Emblem one was not. The Fire Emblem game is not part of the Nintendo Switch
free
NES Online library. Like, why did you sell it separately?
Yeah.
And I think it's like, well, they got to capitalize on that stuff at some point, unfortunately.
Well, and I think since it had never been localized and whatnot, it required probably quite a bit more effort than other games that go into the line.
That's true. I don't know. And then you did, I did mention, I forgot to mention that it's going to be up until March, just like everything else expires in March for purchase.
Oh, really?
Which happens to be the end of the fiscal year for them. So it's pretty like obviously they're trying to boost sales for the financial year. But at the same time, like I mean that makes sense to do that, but at the same time it's like, man, it's a bummer that all these things are going to be gone. And it kind of hints that there's going to be something big coming post. You know, you wouldn't just cut all that stuff off and not have things coming after that.
So something else to sort of.
Yeah, so looking late March, early April, we'll probably have some really big something. Maybe a new system. Maybe it will be a big new bundle of games. I personally think it's going to be the Zelda 35th anniversary celebration stuff. And that'll be up for a while. It will be interesting to see what they do for sure. So let's move on to some of our other questions that we have here. And these are ones that get us into spirit for Halloween. So, first question. What type of games do you recommend playing to get into the Halloween spirit? You have any recommendations, Micah?
Well, if you have any good horror games, you can play some of those. But I'm actually not really big into horror games, so I don't know that many. Dead by Daylight? That got ported to the Switch or something, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yep.
That one seems like it could be pretty fun.
Well, I've got a recommendation that I'm very surprised that you haven't recommended. Well, you could play some Luigi's Mansion.
How dare you suggest that I wasn't going to say that.
Before
you rudely cut me off. Also, you should play some Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Mansion. And there's lots of like Halloween-esque things you can do in like
Animal Crossing,
Smash Bros, Animal Crossing, Mario Kart. Actually, Mario has a lot of spooky stuff. I bet Mario Maker will have some really good Halloween themed levels.
Yeah, it's been a while since I busted that out, and then none of my friends make levels anymore.
True. Yeah, we've all fallen off the Mario Maker. Yeah,
what are those levels made by Roger? Boxes and more boxes?
Boxes and more boxes. Yeah.
So if you want some good, real difficult levels to try, search for boxes and then more boxes.
Those were tough, but I think Luigi's Mansion's probably like the prime Halloween game by Nintendo.
Gosh,
I'm trying to think as well for games that I would recommend getting into the Halloween spirit. So I do have, there was a year that I got sick on Halloween. And so my mom bought me candy to have at home. And I stayed home while she took the kids out trick-or-treating. I was older, 14 or 15. And I played Mario Paint. That was my Halloween. I played Mario Paint and ate candy. So that's my Halloween.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I made my whole like trick or treating scene, like, because you can make cartoons in that by drawing multiple pictures and then you put in a song, and so I made like a whole cartoon that I made. Lots of fun.
See if you can find that and put on the Discord.
Yes, I should. I don't think it would be saved. But it might be. I'll ask Max. Max has the Super Nintendo as of right now with all the gear. It's funny because it's technically my Super Nintendo, but he technically owns the N64, and so we swapped a while back because he's like, I'm really nostalgic for some Super Nintendo games. And I was like, well, I'll take the N64 for a while. And just haven't had a chance to trade back. Now live on opposite ends of the country.
Yeah.
But joke's on him, because soon after, Super Nintendo Online came out. So a lot of the games are...
Fucker.
But it doesn't have Clock. It doesn't have Total Carnage.
Both. I'm sad about Total Carnage. Not so much about Clock.
Clock's a great game. And then what else?
It's a game. I'll give you that.
Gradius 3 was another one I had.
Oh,
there's a bunch. Yeah. I had the original Lion King game. Did you have that game? I think you had that on Sega, right?
Yeah, I had that on the Sega.
It's like incredibly difficult.
So
game.
Hard.
Yeah.
That was like one of my crowning achievements. Actually, my crowning video game achievement might be Echo the Dolphin. I think that might be the hardest game I've ever played.
Echo the Dolphin.
It's surprisingly hard.
We were playing Jackbox the other day. You saw that, right? In one of the games we played, there was a picture of a dolphin, and the joke underneath was
Echo
like,
the Dolphin VR looks really good.
This Echo the Dolphin VR.
And I was like, oh man.
I was like, it's so obscure of a reference, it feels like. It just knew you were playing. It knew.
Yeah, Echo the Dolphin, great game. Very difficult.
Yes. Yes, yes, indeed. Okay, so then along those same lines, what are some of the scariest Nintendo games you have played? And maybe scariest moment in a Nintendo game you've played? Like scary things that make you think like, oh, that was scary to me when I played it.
It's gotta be keep in mind I was pretty young when I first played this. It's gotta be Metroid Prime. Those Chozo ghosts. The screen the rooms would get all dark and the music would get all intense and spooky. That scared me as a child. I was easily scared as a child.
My scary moments are probably going to be, I would say, when I first found a re-dead in Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty horrible. That was pretty horrifying.
Those are scary.
The first spot that I found it was in like a secret tomb in like the graveyard. And you like go in and they turn and the screen like goes, the screen kind of gets stuck for a second, like, and it's slow-mo and they like turn to look at you and there's just like this screaming sound. Those are pretty scary.
Yeah. That's true. I had forgotten about that.
Have they brought those back ever? I'm pretty sure they're in Wind Waker.
There's been one in a newer one. Yeah.
Nothing's quite hit me as scary as that.
Yeah.
The
new Breath of the Wild 2 seems like it'd be a perfect chance to bring back some re-deads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And those, like, shield-eating monsters.
Those guys are the worst. I guess I'll go all the way back to the freaking town and go buy another shield.
Yeah, those were the worst. And also kind of scary. They had re-deads in Melee in the story mode randomly.
Oh, yeah.
And they were scary in there, but not, I mean, because of the nature of the game, it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah.
Another moment is also from Ocarina of Time would be like in the bottom of the well with the like scary hands and the creepy
that grab you.
The boss guy that's like got like weird hands coming out of it. It was all just real weird. Weird and scary. A moment that I specifically, so this could be kind of an embarrassing story. This is probably about this. It would be after the Prime timeline. So I was probably older than you were when you were scared of Metroid ghosts. But Twilight Princess.
Man.
What?
Pac-Man.
Yeah, Pac-Man. Pac-Man was Pac-Man ghosts scare you. Those ghosts pop out and they're like, woo, chase you across. No. Twilight Princess. There is a moment when you are collecting the pieces for the pieces of like the ancient artifact, where it has this full cutscene where it talks about how everybody that has held this artifact ends up becoming corrupted and evil. And it has this whole scene with, like, it's like a weird dream sequence type thing where the, like, Link, the girl that you're trying to save in that game, like, looks really scared and then gets, like, chopped by a sword and it cuts back. I don't even remember it really, because I need to go back and watch it. I just remember this whole moment being just so scary to me. And it cuts and it's Link and he's like got like creepy possessed eyes.
The Dark Link.
Or... yeah, it was and the whole sequence was like just super weird and scary. I put the game down for a few weeks, I'll be totally honest. And it was because I was scared of that. I was like, I don't want to play this anymore. It was too, at the time I was like, this is just so realistic and scary. And like the whole game up to that point was not like that. It was so weird and out of place. And then it did nothing. Like once you finish getting the artifact, nothing happens. Like you're not, it like built it up. Like once you get this, there's no going back. You will become evil. And I thought it would have some effect on the story, and that was not true.
I did have a moment sort of like that happened with, it was actually the demo for Resident Evil Revelations.
Okay.
And you're on a ship and all the monsters are like real creepy. And they like, at some point, one like crawls out from under a bed and like scared me so bad. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm done with this demo. So yeah, I scared easy as a child. I still scare a little easy. To this day, I'm not much into horror games. Horror games are actually really fun if you have one other person, if it's like cooperative.
Yes. But they're extra, extra horrible in VR. Absolutely horrible. I cannot.
Did you ever play that Arctica game I had?
No, I didn't try that one because you said it was scary, and I was like, I know I will not like this game.
Yeah, if it wasn't in VR, it wouldn't really be that scary, but in VR, it was horrifying. All these people who have played it were like,
I remember playing Robo Recall and getting very jump scared all the time because you don't know things are behind you. And you turn, and there's a robot. There's a robot with a gun, like straight in your face. Or the case.
Those little jump.
Yeah, the jumping, things the that jumping explode. Spiders that made your mom like throw your controller.
Yeah, my mom a little ripped off the headset at that point. Having none of it.
I just have this. So now in VR, I'm traumatized from that game specifically. That things are going to jump out from where I'm not looking. And there are games where it sets up an atmosphere like that would work. And I just hate those ones. Like From Other Suns and Mage's Tale, you spend a lot of time in like dark enclosed spaces. And I'm like, something's going to jump out and scare the crap out of me. I just know it. I'm like looking everywhere all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like Arctica, but I like found out that nothing ever like comes from behind you the way that like the rooms are set up and whatnot, but I still look over my shoulder every 5 seconds just in case. It hasn't happened yet, but it might someday.
Yeah, so if you really want to be scared, play VR.
Yeah.
Even not scary games become scary in VR. And there's some horror games on there.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there are a disproportionate amount of horror games on VR just because it's something that works so well in VR.
Yeah. True. Nintendo doesn't have a ton of, like, scary elements in games anymore. I can't think of anything on Ocarina of Time and that one scene in Twilight Princess level. I can't think of that from anything modern Nintendo.
Yeah, there wasn't really anything like even remotely scary in Breath of the Wild. I guess the first time that Blood Moon happens and everyone gets revived. It's a little spooky.
Yeah, that was I wouldn't say I was scared. A little bit panicked because, like, oh no.
I was like, what's happening? It makes it seem like it's a bigger deal than it is. Although the first time it happened, I saw my very first Lynel like 12 seconds later, and I was like, oh no, there are extra dangerous things around when this happens. Then I found out it just brings back all the people you'd murdered.
I mean, so here's the thing. Breath of the Wild totally could have put in some scary stuff like they did with the re-deads in Ocarina. Like Lynels, if done a different way, could have been like a much scarier, like they jump out to scare you kind of thing and then attack.
Yeah, I'm thinking Breath of the Wild 2. They might bring back some more scary elements just based off the trailer I saw.
They should bring back re-deads. I mean, yeah. Basically that like
that's
that,
what Ganondorf like, zombie, supposedly that, Ganondorf thing
yeah,
is.
He's gonna be a re-dead Ganondorf. Oh gosh, that's gonna be horrifying.
Yeah,
because so this isn't really scary, but. I think the scariest Ganondorf was definitely Twilight Princess. And it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. But like when he appears and he destroys like the artifact that you get for Midna, he just like crumples in his hand and then just charges you on his horse. That whole sequence, I was like, this dude is the boss. Like he is way scary.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that was missing though from Breath of the Wild, because he's always been like, he didn't have any like sort of personality. It's just rage incarnate, essentially.
He was just like this big blob, really, that turned into big blob monsters. Yeah, I bet Breath of the Wild 2 is going to fill that need.
Hole. I did miss that little bit of Ganondorf from it.
And so I guess Twilight Princess overall had some scary moments. Now that I'm thinking about it, like Xant when he first shows up was kind of creepy. And there's a spot where his mask goes up and you like see his like teeth.
I don't remember that. I remember him being a weirdo.
Yeah, well, at the end, he's like this like whimsical, silly boss that you fight. And it was very out of place. Like he could have been the scary Ganondorf end boss if they kept up the mystery behind him, but then they just turned him into this like he like danced around as the end boss. And when you defeat him, he's like, oh well, I'm actually not the real boss. It's this guy, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like in some cases that was also missing from Skyward Sword. None of the bosses were really scary.
Yeah.
Girahim. He was scary weird. He was a weirdo. He had that scene where he sneaks up behind Link and he's like, like sticks out his tongue. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
And
yeah,
I was like, remember, ew,
what I don't even heck? Remember what happened. I just remember him having some like weird tongue moment.
Like,
but the scariest part of that game was probably the toilet ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you help the toilet ghost, it like stays in that one dude's house. But if you help the one dude instead, it was like an optional side quest. You could help the dude or you could help the hand. Yeah.
I don't remember which one I helped.
Yeah. Well, I think we've given enough Halloween fuel for our listeners to know what they could potentially play to get into the spirit of Halloween. So I guess we will move out of our question section and let's hop over to the last little bit of our show, which is what you playing. Alrighty, I guess I'll start the segment this go around. What have I been playing? Well, recently I've been playing quite a bit of Mario 35. Enjoying that game. Kind of figured out how to maximize my like leveling up each time I play. It's all based off how many coins you collect. And if you play really aggressively by spamming the attack button and getting as many people targeted as once as you can get the matches to go a little faster, which I have found is better. I think, so this is kind of my take on it. I think the matches take a little too long. They need to be faster. And I don't know exactly how they can do that other than cycling in some more difficult levels with difficult enemies early on in the match, because I don't know, some of those games are getting up to be like 20-30 minutes. I'm like, I just won't, it feels way too long for a match of Mario 35.
I think the farther in, they just need like the timer to go down faster, or like enemies you send to people don't give them more time, something like that. Because yeah, every once in a while the matches just take a real long time.
Yeah. And typically that's alleviated by whatever special mode they have going at the time, because then you're playing farther levels in. But this week's special mode levels were not, it was the same. It felt like it, maybe everybody's just getting better at the game, but it just felt like the matches were too long. So I probably haven't been as much since over the past like week or so because of that. It's like, I just can't get into it.
Now you're left with just all the competitive people.
Yeah.
All like the casual people played for a week or two and kind of stopped.
And now it's the Tetris 99 folks.
Yeah. Bunch of turds.
Yeah. So in addition to that, our old high school buddy, Kyle, or I guess you've been friends with Kyle since he was like, but he got into Rocket League, and so we've been playing Rocket League with him, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be a little more fun if my internet wasn't so terrible over the last week or so.
And if you weren't such a higher rank than we were.
Yeah, that's true as well, since I've played a lot more than them.
Yeah, so I've been playing quite a bit of Rocket League, and then I have dabbled just a little bit with Baldur's Gate 3. We did play that between our recording last time. We played a long session. And great game. Super, super awesome.
I'm pretty excited for some stability updates.
I'm excited for more content as well, like once they make it so there's more races and more
classes, like the Bard.
Like the Bard. That's got to be one they're going to put in. Yeah. And I know a lot of people want Druids. But I don't know. The first Druid that you meet in the game, well, you can kind of go in anywhere, but there's like a lady Druid. She's a jerk. I don't want to be a Druid.
Racist.
But she's also like, the other Druids don't really like her very much either, so
spoilers. She is kind of a turd.
Yeah.
She does give Druids a bad name.
She does. Yeah, so I'm excited for those additions. I'm also excited for when they make it so you can cast spells in dialogue. That's an option they're going to be adding. Which
I'm really excited for that, because I have a spell that makes me extra intimidating, and I never remember to use it before talking to anyone.
Well, it's just inconvenient to like have to remember
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm about to walk into this room. Maybe there'll be a conversation. I guess I better cast this on myself.
There's also been a lot of suggestions through their different forums from people that checks are done as a party. And so if you have a check coming up and you have like a really good magic user, he will roll for it instead of.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
That would be really a good idea, I think.
Yeah. I mean, as long as they're like next to you at the time, just have them step in.
Yeah, if they're in the conversation. Thing.
Yeah. Because it's like kind of hard to tell who should start conversations with people.
Right now, it feels like the party conversations are not well integrated in the game. And I think that's just an early access thing. I think they want to put more involvement. So
right now you essentially just suggest a dialogue option.
Well, and you're not even involved in the cutscene. You just stand in the background staring at nothing. Like, you're not even looking at the people. There's just points where they can do a little bit more to make it more immersive. And I think they are going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the just staring off at nothingness during some like intense dialogue. It's like, huh?
Like when you get attacked, when you first meet one of the party members, Asterion, he like pulls the knife on you and will like wrestle you to the ground, and then the rest of the party's just standing there like,
yeah. Spoiler alert, if you don't want him to try and stab you, don't tell him to take care of things by himself. He doesn't take too kindly to that.
Yeah. I saw someone reloaded that scene over and over again so they could successfully roll to headbutt him. It was very unsatisfying. I saw the clip. I was like, what? He just goes, wow, and gets up. Just like all the other checks, he just gets up. Yeah. So that's a fun game. If you are remotely interested in that style of game, or you're a big like D&D fan, I think that's one I can heartily recommend. It's fun. The character builder in that game is so cool, and I am excited because that's probably going to get expanded on as the game comes out with more stuff.
Oh, yeah, probably
options and more.
Yeah, because they'll be adding in more races, and they essentially let you use whatever you want from any race, at least like skin colors and like eye colors, hair color. I mean, I don't think you can add tiefling horns to random people, but so I think with the more classes that get added in, they'll at least have some other options.
Yeah.
Yep, even if it's nothing major.
Yeah. And then they're also looking for people to do evil playthroughs so that they can get more data on route. So maybe we'll have to come back.
And my time play has come.
Play again is bad.
It's time to bring back Murder Micah. From our good old Super Mario. Which was
Mario game was that? Super Mario. It was like for the Wii. Super Mario Wii U.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The good old days.
That is a good release. I'll find that clip and like cut that and share it somewhere so people can see that.
But the real monster is, I think, Andrew, who footstooled me while I was carrying the last baby Yoshi to safety. Footstooled me down a hole.
I think you're remembering this wrong. It is on video. So
it is on video. It was you or maybe Kyle or Max, I guess. I think it was the four of us playing. One of you guys footstooled me while I was carrying the last living baby Yoshi.
I I'm pretty sure you just fell into a pit, and that's why we were so angry and called you Murder Man Micah.
I'm pretty sure someone footstooled me or got in my way or something.
We'll play that back. I'll find it. I'll figure that out. So you just do some detective work.
Actually, that reminds me. I think the scariest part of any game I've ever played was from that game and almost getting killed by icicles falling from the ceiling. If I remember correctly, there was a lot of screaming.
I forgot about that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was
If you ever see that video, you might be thinking, man, these guys are playing at like 2 in the morning or something, so they're like really giddy. I'm pretty sure it was like 2 in the afternoon, so.
Oh, man, I need to go back and watch these. I had forgotten about that. That was a good time. That was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Back, man. Yeah.
Well,
back in our high school days.
That transitions kind of into my last what I've been playing. And that is Mario Kart Live. Three words, all spaced like that. Mario Kart Live. We've been playing a lot of Mario Kart Live. I haven't played for a couple days just because of the setup. But our plan is actually to... Well, I'll talk about our experience so far. So we have a pretty specific way that we can set up our kitchen for the course to work. And so it's basically just a circle around our kitchen island. And unfortunately, that's on the opposite end of the room from where the TV is, and the cart doesn't have the best connection from behind the island. And so it works, but at that point it gets a little laggy at that point of the track. But the rest of the track has worked really well. And we got out all sorts of toys to make our course. We got out castles for a section of the course, stuffed animals, built a wall of Legos to kind of act as like barriers for the course, like you would see on the edge of like a regular Mario Kart level. We made a big road out of books. Man, we've done so much with, like, experimented with so many different things, and it's just so fun. It's such a cool toy.
You need to make like a rainbow road on like stilts. So if you go off the track, you just fall.
Yeah.
And then whoever's not playing acts as the Lakitu.
Yeah, I mean, that is essentially what my son and daughter like to do with the cart, is if it crashes or something, they run out and pick it up and put it back where it's supposed to go. And briefly you see like a hand grab the cart. Like, put it back. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. So my youngest daughter is pretty newly walking. She's been walking for just a couple months. She's running and stuff now. And she runs faster than the car goes, but she can't bend down fast enough to pick it up. And so we've had a lot of fun. I've been like driving around backwards so you can see her chasing after the car, and then you stop and she tries to get down and get in, and so we play like keep away with the cart. There was a grasshopper that got into our house, and I chased it around with the Mario Kart for a little bit, and then I
ran it over and killed it.
No, I caught it with a cup and put it back outside. what else we do? Give some impressions on how well it works. It does not do ramps very well. It has to be at a very mild incline for it to work. If you do too much of an incline, the cart will just stop and won't go. And will actually, like, it won't even try to be going. It'll just, like, give out and roll back down. It doesn't work awesome on thick carpet. It does work on our carpet, but it's so bumpy that you'll get like motion sick playing. So it works best on hardwood floor or really like a really, I don't know what you would call it, like a really short carpet, I guess.
Like school classroom carpet.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like that industrial.
Or movie theater carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we found, so our house is pretty new, and they left extra laminate that they didn't use because they finished. So we have like this big strip of wood floor laminate, so we can put that down in our living room. It makes a decent little track. But if we extend it into our kitchen, then we kind of can mess around with that. Our next thing we want to do is take it. So it is not for outdoor use. So I'm going to preface that right off the bat. But I'm also going to say that I'm a grown up and I get to do what I want. So our plan is to take it to the park by our house where we have tennis courts and try it out on the tennis courts. And there's also like a sidewalk that goes around a playground. And we try it on that. See how big of a course we can get through something like that where you have a lot more space. If we took it to like a church building with like a gym, that would be cool. Ooh, but yeah. don't really have access to
it. You can even roll out there a TV from a library.
Yeah. We don't really have access to anything like that right now because everything's closed with COVID. But yeah. So I think there's some cool spaces that would be a lot of fun to do. It would be really cool if we could figure out better like set pieces to make levels. But yeah, it's pretty cool. The only gripes I have on it, on the TV, the camera quality isn't awesome. It looks a lot better in handheld, probably just because the pixel, the camera is not like a super high-end camera. And the gates are kind of like Labo, made out of like the really nice cardboard. I wish that they were made out of some sort of plastic. And the reason for that is you can actually run into them, and with kids, I just feel like the cardboard's going to get destroyed. So I feel like over time we're going to have to replace the gates. Whereas if they were made of like a more plasticky material, I feel like it would be a little harder to break. I don't know. Those are my only gripes. Other than that, fantastic toy. Highly recommend. If you have the space for it, you should totally get it, especially if you got kiddos. And that's what I've been playing. Micah, what do you got? What you been playing?
I haven't been playing too much. I actually just played a little bit of Fortnite with you. I have their Fortnite Mirrors event going on, so when you or someone else dies, you turn into a ghost. That's pretty fun.
I did not like it at first, and then when I played with you, it was a ton of fun, and now I'm enjoying even playing by myself with that.
Yeah, so I think that's cool. That I know, like, a lot of people don't like it, especially because you have to play with that on unless you're playing in, like, the arena competitive. But I've also played a little bit of Rocket League. Rocket League's been pretty rough, though, because something's up with our internet. So the past, like, week or so, it's been pretty bad, and Rocket League really suffers. And I've just started playing Doom 2016. Not a Nintendo game.
Oh. Is that not on the Switch? Doom Eternal's on the Switch. It's like the sequel.
I guess Doom is on the Switch, but I'm borrowing it using a friend's Steam from their Steam library. Technically, I'm using a friend's account to borrow it from their brother's Steam library, but
this isn't shady at all.
It's totally legit.
I'm gonna have to block this out of the cast. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I mean, so far, it's been really fun. I made a mistake and am playing in nightmare mode, which is the hardest mode I could choose without, yeah. I think, having beaten it already.
I feel like you and me have this problem, and it's in every game we like automatically gravitate towards the hardest difficulty selection possible. Do you remember when we did that with Battle Block Theater?
You like cut out a little bit.
So do you remember when we did this with Battle Block Theater and we had the we played on the hardest difficulty we played on the hardest difficulty and got and we were like, we're going to beat this before such and such time. And we got to this point where like, there's no way, we can't do it. It's not possible. And it was after the fact you looked it up and you're like, if we played on an easier difficulty setting, we get checkpoints. You don't have to beat the level all in one go. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was like not possible to beat in the hardest difficulty mode, especially towards the end game. It was just so like, yeah. I just remember going, why do we do this to ourselves? We could have had a much more enjoyable time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I like my games to be challenging.
I feel like
the first level was real rough.
Yeah, I feel like we have this weird complex where we feel challenged by the game when they're like, but you can't play this mode.
What did you say?
I feel like we just have this thing with the game. We feel like the game is challenging us, and we have to
play the hardest. Yeah, we have to beat the challenge,
or we're wimps.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Kyle's also like that.
Yeah, I don't know why we do that. It's all of us have that problem. Anyways, so the first level you said was really difficult.
So the what was really difficult? Sorry, you cut out again.
You said the first level for you was really difficult?
Oh, yeah, because I had never played before. And it warns you when you, try to start. They're like, warning, if you start in nightmare mode, you cannot change it later in the game. I was like, whatevs. And then it also mentions something about how it tests your spatial awareness. And apparently, you can do these, glory kill things, which, give you more health from eliminating enemies. And if you, get them low and, stun them, then you essentially punch their head into oblivion and it explodes. Other gratuitously gory things like that. Mm-hmm. And so supposedly you generally can't get hurt while doing that, I've been led to believe. But on nightmare mode, you can. So there have been a couple times where I'm, punching someone and then some rando runs up to me and just punches me with a fireball and I die.
So,
well, there
you go. So you got to really know who's close. Not to be violent.
Oh yeah, instead I just pull up my rocket launcher and shoot them. Yeah, it is really fun though, because you never ever have to reload. You essentially just get one big clip for every weapon. So the combat is very fast paced. There are no breaks. Yeah, not recommended for children.
Yeah, they need a family-friendly mode. I don't even know what they would
do. I don't know how they could possibly. The enemies are twist-up balloon people or something.
And when they pop, they are sparkly.
Yeah, some confetti.
Yes. Yeah. Have you played a Doom game before? I've never played a Doom game.
No, I don't think I had. I might have played a teeny bit of the original.
Okay.
But
yeah, it's a popular series, but I never got into it. So
yes, not for everyone.
So you've been playing Fortnite and Doom. Those are very opposite ends.
Yeah, for real, though. That and a little bit of Rocket League.
Yeah. Anything new on the horizon for you that you'll be playing?
Coming up? Don't think so.
Are you getting Age of Calamity? Can't remember if you said you were getting
Probably not. I might get it a little farther down the road. Hopefully with some sort of sale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if I get
an internship at some point soon, I might.
You also played some Baldur's Gate with me. Which, I guess, maybe you could talk about how you're enjoying your build as a warrior. Did I lose you?
Yeah, the last thing I heard you say was Baldur's Gate, and then you froze.
Oh, okay. I can hear you now. So maybe talk about how you're enjoying Baldur's Gate.
Oh, yeah, that's been fun. I've decided to be a soldier, just a rando warrior dude. In one game and the other, I'm like a warlock. So it's been pretty different. But I enjoy, since I'm a soldier, being really strong, and I like to carry around barrels of like oil and other flammable things to throw at people. So that's been a lot of fun. I'm practically like a pyromancer class. Carry around barrels and candles and things.
Yeah, we had a funny moment in that game where, like, one of the Mind Flare worms. So, enemies we beat up, a Mind Flare worm came out of their, like, eye. And Micah's character, like, picked it up. And he was like, we have to destroy it. And he couldn't, like... It's like, your mind is not your own. You let it go because he failed his check. And so we watch in the cutscene as the worm leaves, and then it went back to the regular game, and the worm got stuck and snared in some plants. And so we're like, quick, kill it!
Yeah, they're like vice. Yeah, and then we just killed it. That was great. After getting tangled in those vines like 800 times, it felt them to work in our favor.
Yeah, it's true. That was pretty funny. Yeah, we had some funny. There's some funny moments that happen in that game. Sometimes like on purpose, and then other times just like
not so much.
Wigged out stuff happening in the dialogues. Like we were in dialogue with, so those people weren't even like attacking us. Oh, and Micah was still in dialogue with them, and then all of a sudden the whole party is in a fight except for Micah, who is still talking to the people. And I think you had like successfully persuaded them not to attack. And the conversation ends. Yeah.
I don't even think I quite get to the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
It got real weird.
Yeah. So there's some kinks with it, but overall we're having a blast. Like that game, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast, but that game has sold over 1 million copies in early access. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's all those D&D nerds. No offense to anyone who plays D&D.
Not I. Played D&D before.
I have actually a little bit.
Oh, well, you're one of these nerds that you just called out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why they need to add in a bard, so I can be a tiefling bard like I was in my campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having fun with that game. I think it's really, it's really well done. There's just parts that need to be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, and polished. But
yep,
that's to be expected. It's early access.
Yeah, so for all of our Nintendo fans listening, be looking forward to Baldur's Gate coming to Switch in 3 years.
Yeah.
When it's done and ready to be ported over. My cat just brought down a ball of socks.
Oh. Were your feet cold?
Okay. No.
Oh man, it'd been really cool if they were.
Yeah, I was like, oh hey, convenient. Wouldn't really want that because she just sneezed on him. But
oh yeah, not as convenient.
But I feel like that's a good stopping point. So I will. Oh. I guess we'll close up the podcast.
I'm pretty sure I know what we're going to say. We played next week because. Unless my sources are incorrect, then Risk of Rain 2 has reached 1.0 on consoles as of 5 or so days ago. So we got to be getting back into that.
Is Switch on par with the other consoles?
As far as I know.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to play that new character.
The Captain? Or, El Capitan? Well,
you have to unlock him first.
Oh, that's true.
I'm sure we'll do that like first round as long as I'm playing with you. Not my.
Yeah, I think you actually have to beat the game, yeah. Which is now sort of a possibility.
Yep. Man.
Shouldn't be too hard, and if it is, we'll just go to drizzle mode.
Yeah, there you
Don't
go.
Don't judge us.
After we just talked about how we always play on the hardest setting, which in Risk of Rain we usually are playing on the hardest setting.
I mean, when I play Soul Out, I always play Monsoon.
Yeah.
Sometimes with others, I play the normal, but that's just because the game is sort of harder with more people.
I feel like we don't need to play on Drizzle. We just need to play with that artifact that lets you pick your items.
And oh yeah, that you can break the game so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that next time. So it's been a while since we talked about Risk of Rain. But yeah. Risk of Rain is out of early access. So it's been kind of funny because since I got a Switch, it's been kind of like I'm always in on at least one game in early access. And so that one ended and we got Baldur's Gate 3, which is in early access. So kind of fun it's kind of fun to have at least one early access game in your roster because you get to come back to constant updates.
Yeah. Risk of Rain was a really good early access game.
Yes. It had a really cool roadmap that we could like look forward to updates coming out, and it brought us back several times. Yeah. Well, we will hit that up in episode 13. But for now, please leave a review of this podcast. 5-star review. I mean, I'll take 4-star if you want to give it a 4-star, but 5-star would be better. Our podcast on whatever podcast app listening device you are using. And be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just look for the Nintendo Pals at Nintendo Pals Podcast or at Nintendo Pals. You'll find us. Links are all in the description of this podcast as well. Special thanks to VGR for the music used throughout the podcast episodes. And big thanks to at SuperDatFast for the question that we used in today's episode. Head on over to
Retro Logic Podcast. Oh,
but
I just... pulled up Risk of Rain 2 and unlocked an achievement somehow called I Love Dying. I got it for dying a whole bunch.
All right. Yeah, so big thanks to at SuperDatFast for the question, and go over and check out their podcast, Retro Logic. They gave us a shout out recently on Twitter. So thanks, guys, for that. And we'll have to have them come on at some point soon. We need to get more guests on here. If you do a podcast of sorts and are a Nintendo fan, or maybe you're just a game fan in general, or you're not, but you want to talk about Nintendo for some reason, hit us up to be a guest on our show or have us come guest on your show. I'd be down for doing that anytime. And let's see, that's everything. Oh, yeah, come on over and join us on Discord. Our Discord server has grown a little bit in the recent history because we've been using it to play Among Us with a lot of people. So we get over there and have some chats and get together and play games every now and then. So if you're looking for a fun group, hit us up there as well. And that about does it. I will give the closing remark of today's episode. And that is, enjoy your Halloween, everybody. Play some fun Halloween themed games. Talk to y'all next time. Bye.